In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The loss of a loved one, a mother, a father, spouse, daughter, son, or a friend, is one of the heaviest and most burdensome, one of the most heavy and painful burdens a person has to experience in life. Their death leaves a gaping hole within our lives, for in losing them, we lose a piece of something of ourselves as well. Our life often becomes impoverished, the poorer for their absence. In some cases, the loss may be felt as a loss of what could have been or might have been. We may mourn the loss of opportunities that might have forged deeper and more meaningful bonds with a parent or a spouse or a friend. We grieve over the time we failed to spend with them. We mourn what might have been with the loss of a child, both for the child and for the parental-child bond. In other cases, we had such a connection and bond that it feels as if the ground beneath our feet has been removed, and we're falling into an abyss, disoriented, without purpose and direction, and without meaning. It's hard to imagine life without our loved one. Now, in various ways, we try to keep them alive for us by keeping their memory alive. Visiting cemeteries and placing flowers at gravestones was a long-honored tradition of acknowledging loss and trying to maintain that connection. I'm not sure how often that takes place these days with our transient and mobile society in which we now live, people spread out across the country. But the need and desire to maintain or at least not lose that connection persists. And if you think about it, in many cultures, if not most cultures of the world prior to the modern era, people believed that the spirits or souls of their loved ones now resided in a kind of higher existence and now lived on a spiritual or non-material plane beyond the boundaries of this physical and transient world. As such, people thought that perhaps they were able to look after us who are left behind on earth. And maybe even they had access to the gods or God and thus could influence or persuade them to act for the benefit of those of us who remained on earth. Such views have not been confined to non-Christian traditions. Variations also existed within the Christian tradition with regard to those who lived exemplary lives and were subsequently elevated to the status of sainthood. In their role as saints, they could serve as intermediaries between us and God. In some popular views today, I suspect Christians have come to see and believe that their dead loved ones have been given the wings of an angel who now looks after us in some way. Yet I suspect in an increasingly secular age in which there is no life beyond this life, respect and reverence are shown the dead, not in terms of recognizing a higher form of existence in which they now live, but in terms of remembering and respecting and even celebrating the life that our loved one lived here on earth, a life that has now ended and does not continue. Rather than mourning their death, then, they choose to celebrate their life. And for some, that is all they have, as there will be no future celebrations. Beyond that, the consolations that we offer are often limited to, well, they remain alive within our hearts and within our memories. In the meantime, we may try to honor them and honor their lives by carrying on the work that they did, or perhaps taking up their causes, or celebrating the best of what they brought into our world. Now, these practices, whether religious or non-religious, all affirm the importance of our connections with those who have died. And they acknowledge the loss that one endures. But they can only consider these connections and losses in limited ways. As Christians, we view all things, including the loss of the loved ones that we have lost, in the light of Christ. It is He who gives us access to God's heart, that we might see all things with the eyes of God. And so we honor those who have gone before us for what they were and who they were in the eyes of God. In some cases, this may make the grief over the loss of loved ones even sharper, but the hope and comfort that much greater. If the loss is more painful and grief more sharper, it is because we know that it wasn't supposed to be like this. This is not the life that God had created for his human creatures. As Dr. Adams pointed out to me in a conversation one time, God says it is not good for Adam to be alone, meaning that God's creation was not complete yet. It was incomplete. It is not until until God creates Eve as well that God pronounces it very good. It is now as it should be. It is complete. This is how God intended things to be. And so perhaps our loss in some way mirrors or reflects God's own loss and grief, in that the creation is now once again incomplete with the loss of a loved one. But the hope and comfort that we are afforded in Christ by seeing things through the eyes of God is that much greater. Christ's death means that sin and death do not get the last word. Christ's resurrection means that incompleteness and loss do not get the last word. God has the last word. Recreation has the last word. Life has the last word. And in the light of this gospel, then, we honor our loved ones as fellow creatures of God. As God's creatures, they received their life from God and the various gifts that made them who they were. As fellow human creatures of God, they were themselves gifts from God to us and gifts for God's creation. God may have blessed us through them with laughter, with comfort, with their presence, and with their help. And thus, their death results not only in that they are torn from us, but torn from this world in which we and they were living members and participants. And yet, in seeing them as gifts and perceiving them as God's gifts to us and to the world, we perceive something of God's generosity upon his entire creation, of which we ourselves are part. We give thanks for them and for the gifts that we received through them. We honor them by participating and continuing the work that they have begun, but perhaps have not yet finished. And yet, also, in light of the gospel, we perceive them not only as fellow human creatures, but as baptized children of God and co-heirs of Christ for eternal life. As the Apostle John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." And so we honor our beloved ones baptized in Christ as those whom God has adopted and those to whom God has shown his faithfulness. God has been faithful to the promises that he made them in their baptism. He will continue to remain faithful to those baptismal promises until Christ returns. And he will continue to remain faithful to those promises of raising them and us from the dead. As we recall God's faithfulness to his promises, to those who have gone before us, we recall that those same promises are given to us, to you, and to me. And thus we honor our lost loved ones in hope. God's remembering his promises and being faithful to his promises is especially important for us human creatures who still live with the effects of the fall. For try as we might to maintain our connection with our loved ones who have entered death before us, and try as we might to keep their memories alive through stories and pictures and items of our loved ones, all too often I suspect that we find our memories fading with the passage of time. And we don't want that to happen. We may feel guilty about that happening. We want to keep their memories alive. But God's memory does not fade away. God remembers his promises. God remembers those to whom he has made the promises of resurrection, life, and restoration. And God remembers the promises that he has made to us and is faithful to those promises. God's remembrance of them does not simply take place within the mind as it does with us. God's remembrance of his promises brings about real-world consequences. Consider when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance of his promises. Promises that are effective and creative. Promises that take place and find fulfillment with the reception of the body and blood of our resurrected Lord as we anticipate the resurrection of our bodies and those of our loved ones. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.